Hey y'all, we're rerunning two episodes today, which means that you'll hear two hosts, me and Tracy V. Wilson. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to this day in history class. It's July 28th. Peruvian independence was declared on this day in 1821. You might wonder why I didn't say Peru declared its independence, and that's because that's not how it happened. So many stories of nations becoming independent start with an uprising by that nation's people. Like, there's a declaration of independence that's often paired with fighting back against a monarch or a colonizing nation, and that sometimes blossoms into a war that stretches on before independence truly is achieved, regardless of when it was actually declared. That is not what happened in Peru, though. So in 1808, Napoleon invaded Spain, and that sparked a series of struggles for independence in Spain's colonies. These went on for more than a decade, from 1810 until 1821. And usually the prevailing force in these movements was people of European descent who had been born in these Spanish colonies. So it wasn't so much the work of indigenous people or of enslaved Africans who were living in these colonies. But even as its neighbors fought for independence, Peru really didn't get involved. The Peruvian aristocracy was still pretty loyal to Spain, and Peru also had a lot of Spanish residents. The Spanish army also had a major presence in the Peruvian capital of Lima. There was an army right there, readily available to put down any kind of revolution. Made it a little bit more of a challenge to actually start a revolution. So, instead, Peruvian independence was largely instigated by its neighbors. It was mostly fought in Chile, not in Peru. In particular, General José San Martín was from Argentina, and he had already fought for independence in Buenos Aires and in Chile. He was basically trying to ensure Argentina's own independence. There had been a battle for independence in Argentina. There was this idea that if Spain continued to have a presence, then people were going to continue to be at risk of becoming a colony again. There were also some silver mines conveniently located in Peru that he wanted access to. So, first, Argentina fought for Chilean independence, which was obtained in 1818. And then he used Chile as a base of operations to stage an attack on the Spanish forces in Peru. Chile and Peru don't share much of a land border. This was planned as a naval operation. In September of 1820, San Martin's force took the Peruvian port of Pisco, and then he moved on to Lima after Spanish forces withdrew from that area. And it was he, not the people of Peru, who declared its independence. This was actually the last Spanish colony in South America to become independent. Even though he had this whole plan that involved surrounding the Spanish to drive them completely out of South America, he didn't have an army strong enough to defeat it. So he went to Simón Bolívar for help. Bolívar had been fighting for independence in Venezuela, Colombia, and Ecuador, and he had been a major force for independence in most of Spain's northern colonies in South America. It's not totally clear what happened when these two men met in 1822 to talk about the situation, but whatever it was that happened, San Martín left. Bolívar refused whatever offer it was that he had made. He withdrew his force, he resigned his protectorship of Peru, and Simón Bolívar took over the fight. After this, San Martín went into exile in Europe, where he died at the age of 1850. Impoverished and long out of the military action. Eventually, Spain did remove the rest of its forces from South America. And today, July 28th, is the day that newly elected Peruvian presidents take office. Thanks to Christopher Hasiotis for his research work on today's episode and to Tari Harrison for her audio skills on all of these episodes. You can subscribe to This Day in History class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can tune in tomorrow for some Civil War espionage.
Hi, I'm Eves, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that uncovers a little bit more about history every day. The day was July 28, 1866. Helen Beatrix Potter was born in South Kensington, London. Potter would become renowned for her best-selling children's books, Beatrix was born into a wealthy family, one that made its money off of cotton, a trade that was firmly rooted in the system of slavery. She was the first child of Rupert and Helen Potter, who had a passion for the arts and hung around a lot of artists, writers, and politicians. Beatrix had a younger brother, Walter Bertram. And as was typical for people of her class, Beatrix was educated at home by governesses, and her care was left to nurses. She was isolated, and her childhood was pretty lonely, though she was allowed to keep small pets like rabbits, mice, and snails. When Beatrix and her brother spent time in the Scottish Highlands and the Lake District of Northern England, they would wander around the countryside, which stimulated Beatrix's interest in animals and nature. But Bertram was sent away to boarding school, and Beatrix remained on her own throughout her adolescence. Her father also took her to museums and to visit their friends, and at a young age, she was drawing, painting, and writing about her pets. Her parents even sent her to the National Art Training School for formal art instruction. From 1881 to 1897, she kept a journal that was written in a secret code that she made up. In this journal, she recorded her thoughts about politics, society, and art. Her journal code wasn't cracked and deciphered until after her death. And she filled sketchbooks with drawings of plants and animals. In the early 1890s, Beatrix sold some of her art for greeting cards and illustrations. But in her 20s, she put a lot of time into studying natural history. She was especially intrigued by fungi. She drew hundreds of detailed pictures of fungi and was encouraged to make her drawings more scientifically accurate. In 1897, with the help of her chemist uncle, her paper, On the Germination of the Spores of Agaricinae, was presented to a meeting of the Linnaean Society. She herself could not present the paper because she was a woman, and her theories and drawings were rejected for that same reason and because she was not a trained scientist. But the inspiration for her famous book, The Tale of Peter Rabbit, came when she was writing illustrated letters to the children of her former governesses. In 1893, she wrote one such letter to Noel Moore. 7 years later, she submitted the story to several local publishers. They turned it down, so she had it printed herself. After seeing the book, publisher Frederick Warren decided to publish it, with additional colored illustrations from Potter. The book was successful, and Beatrix went on to form a lifelong relationship with Frederick and a romantic one with her editor, Norman Warren. She and Norman married, though her parents were not approving of the pairing. He died less than a month after they married. Potter went on to produce 22 more books over the next 20 years, including The Tailor of Gloucester, The Tale of Squirrel Nutkin, and Appley Dappley's Nursery Rhymes. Her books were small, so children could hold them, and they paired simple prose with watercolor illustrations. Using the money she made from her books, she bought Hilltop Farm and Castle Farm in Sowry, England, and thousands of acres of surrounding farmland. She rented out her property and remained living with her parents until she was 47 years old, when she married a solicitor named William Healis. The last book she wrote and illustrated, The Tale of Little Pig Robinson, was published in 1930, though an earlier book she had written was published later. In her later years, she settled into marriage and turned her attentions from writing to farming, and she was dedicated to breeding Herdwick sheep. She was also passionate about conservation. In 1943, at age 77, Beatrix died in her home. She left thousands of acres of land to the National Trust. The Journal of Beatrix Potter was published in 1966. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. Keep up with us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at TDIHC Podcast. Thanks for joining me on this trip through history. See you here, same place tomorrow.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.